Hi, this is Barry Nelson, and you're at home or traveling with the most satisfying weekend sound around. Monitor 66. Known as the Jet Set, and a song known as The Shadow of Your Smile.
Tom Crowe for the jet, making him a...
If you can't say anything nice about your present cigarette, come on over to the L&M side, just for the taste of it.
Come on over to the L&M side. Come on over for the taste of it. Yeah, come on over, you'll be glad you did. Come on over to the L&M side.
The L&M side is for people who want taste in a cigarette and plenty of it. Come on over to the L&M side, just for the taste of it.
Nancy Wilson comes in conversation among professional musicians. The consensus can be summed up in just one line. There is a singer. Being popular doesn't always go with being good, but it's happily the case with Nancy, and we're pleased that she could be our monitor guest, interviewed in Chicago by reporter Jack Eigen.
Nancy, what do you think was the turning point that made Nancy Wilson, a local favorite, become a national favorite?
I would have to say that about a year and a half ago, when I opened in the Coconut Grove with an act, which
in LA,
in Los Angeles, an act as opposed to a stand-up singer. This was the turning point where I became a performer rather than a singer.
You know, many have been saying, and I know that comparisons are unfair, but they are saying that this is the gal to come along to give Lena Horne a little competition. Not really that way. Lena's one of our great stars.
Well, people will inevitably do that. I don't even like to get involved in all that because I would like to be accepted just as Nancy Wilson. And
well, one day
they're going to stop doing the comparisons.
Well, you are, but as Tony Martin told me in an interview some time ago, he said when you start in the business, or when you're new in the business, you kind of imitate consciously or unconsciously someone that you've idolized for many years. But then in order to make it, of course, you've got to create your own style. In fact, Tony said when he started, he imitated Bing Crosby and Rudy Valley. And then when he started to make some money, he had to be himself.
What really happens is you are a product of everything you've ever heard. And this is true with anybody. Even today, I know that there are times, I don't care how long I sing, that I will sound to somebody like Dinah Washington, Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, Lena Horne, Peggy Lee, whomever. This I don't mind. It's just if I were to think, or if people were to think that I sounded like one particular person, then I might be disturbed and wonder what's the matter. But I do feel that I'm a product of all these people because they were before me and I listened to them. And if I can be me through all of that, then that's great.
Well, you're doing very well, and she is the mother of a little boy. What is his? What does he show talent-wise
towards
show business? How old is he?
He'll be three in January. He's just a marvelous little boy. I'm very, very, very pleased with him. I think basically because he's very spoiled with love, and he's not a brat. You know, he's not. I can take him anywhere. He's been to the best nightclubs. He's gone out to dinner. He knows how to. He's just great in public with people, and this is good. He every now and then will sit at the piano, but he sings. And he also plays the drum. So he's got some of his father and some of his mother.
That's a nice expression. He's spoiled with love. If you can be spoiled with love, I think many of us would like to be rotten. But I do want to thank you very much, Nancy Wilson, for chatting with us.
It's my pleasure, Jack.
Nancy Wilson, one of America's very wonderful singing stars. And this is Jack Eigen, NBC Chicago, for Monitor.
By the way, Nancy will appear on Sammy Davis' first show on NBC TV next Friday night, January 7th, and she has a new release just out this week called No One Else But You. Let's listen, shall we?
The way the lonely night needs the moon to lick the sky, and just the way a bird must have two wings to make it fly. Darling, that's hard. I need you. You. No one else but you. You. No one else but you. Just you. Just you. And just the way a rose needs the rain to make it grow, and just the way a star must have a wish to make it glow, darling, that's how I need you. A gypsy melody, and just the way the dawn must have the sun to make it free, darling, that's how I need you.
Voice of Nancy Wilson, right here where you'll find all the swinging sounds from 66 on the Monitor Beacon. Next, a Monitor News feature. NBC's Ron Nesson reports from Saigon, where he's observed the events of the past week.
For a few hours this past week, a Christmas ceasefire in Vietnam raised the world's hopes that peace might at last have come to this tortured land. Then the communists smashed those hopes. Throughout, the United States acted in good faith and with honor. Some would say with more honor than the Viet Cong deserved. But because of incredible bungling in telling the story to the world, American officials here muffed an opportunity to show those clamoring for peace which side is really keeping this war going. A whole sad episode began a few days before Christmas when the chief military spokesman here declared publicly that our servicemen in Vietnam are paid to fight 365 days a year, and he knew of no reason why they would not fight Christmas Day. The Viet Cong had already announced they would not fire unless fired upon for 12 hours, from sundown Christmas Eve to sunup Christmas morning. Civilian officials here and a handful of reporters knew that we would also declare a Christmas ceasefire, lest we appear to be rejecting a chance at peace. But most of the reporters took the military spokesman's word, and that's what they reported to the world, that we would shoot Christmas Day. Well, the next day we did announce our ceasefire, and we went the communists one better. We would not shoot from sundown Christmas Eve to midnight Christmas night, 30 hours instead of the VC's 12 hours. The soldiers in the trenches here and the rest of the world began to hope that the ceasefire might go on indefinitely, that both sides would be under great public pressure not to resume the shooting when Christmas was over, and thus the war might simply end without negotiations or a treaty. Then a military spokesman again put his foot in his mouth. He announced that at 1 minute after midnight, December 26th, our troops would resume normal combat operations. The fact is, our troops had orders not to resume offensive operations after the ceasefire. But again, most of the full propaganda value of our actions. But it really didn't make any difference anyhow, because the Viet Cong never had any intention of keeping the ceasefire going. They violated their own 12-hour ceasefire 20 times. And on Christmas Day, during our 30-hour ceasefire, they resumed their terrorism and attacks with a vengeance. Yet we concealed this for 24 hours, trying to give the communists every chance to stop the shooting without publicly losing face. We also suspended our bombings of North Vietnam. But it was all for nothing. We were willing for an extended ceasefire. The Viet Cong were not. This is Ron Nesson, NBC News, Saigon.
For all the news and for news features, stay tuned to NBC and Monitor. Next, Monitor Comedy Time. With Mike Nichols and Elaine May. The only thing you have to know in advance about this couple is that up to this moment, they've never seen each other.
Oh, hi.
Leah?
Yeah.
I'm Seymour.
Come on in, Seymour. I'm not ready yet.
Wait.
Just sit over. Don't sit there. Sit over there. It's a white chair. It gets dirty.
You look different from what I expected from your voice on the phone.
Oh, yeah? What'd you expect?
I don't know. You're prettier than I expected.
Thank you. How tall are you?
5'2".
You're pretty short.
Yeah, didn't Phyllis tell you?
Now, she said that you weren't tall, you know, but I didn't, you know, you're a real shrimp.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Well, I feel like a nut going out with you.
Well, didn't Phyllis tell you I was short?
She didn't tell me that you were that short. You know, she said you were pretty short and you weighed about 170.
Yeah.
You're fat, aren't you?
Well, I am overweight. I'm dieting right now.
I was going to offer you some crackers and a drink, but you're too fat to eat any crackers. I'll be done in 1 minute.
Sure. Where would you like to go?
Don't you have anything planned?
Well, I thought we could go to a movie. You like movies?
Not much. What movie you want to go to?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I thought anything you'd like to see.
I don't know any movie I want to see.
Would you rather go to a show or a nightclub?
Yeah, I would. I'd like to go to a nightclub.
Or we could go to see a show and then...
Well, let's go to a show. I'd like to go someplace where we don't have to stand up together.
Sure. We'll play?
Hmm?
We can go catch a play.
Yeah.
We should get going, and it's almost 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I just want to get dressed. What do you do?
I'm a dentist.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Little short fellow like you. Where are you a dentist at?
I have an office with several other boys.
Yeah, what do you make?
What money do I make?
You make a good living at that?
Oh, yeah. I make a pretty good living.
Mm. All right. How do I look?
Beautiful. You look great.
Do I look all right?
Yeah.
You like this dress?
Yeah.
You like this?
Oh, yeah.
I bought this today.
It's beautiful. You bought it for our date?
Yeah, but I didn't, you know, I thought you were, I didn't know you were so short.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm ready.
Well, out for a night of romance.
Well, they are priceless, and I'm always amazed at what those two can do in a mere 2.5 minutes. Those two, of course, are Mike Nichols and Elaine May, who are regulars each weekend on Monitor Comedy Time. Cy Coleman original called Pussycat. This is Barry Nelson, back with you shortly on Monitor, available throughout the nation on NBC Radio. KFYR Bismarck, North Dakota, is the powerful voice of NBC in the Dakotas.
Monitor, your weekend driving companion on the NBC Radio Network.